Paul says, hey, Timothy, see what he's saying here? He's like, Timothy, my suffering for the gospel is worth it. This is the lens he's always looking through. My suffering is not in vain because my suffering for Christ is resulting in other lives being saved forever, rescued from death and eternal hell apart from God. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven. Oh Lord, be my light and be my salvation. Cause all I want is to be in the light. Yeah. All I want is to be in the light.
Well, a good day to you all, and welcome to Live in the Light. We continue to be so thankful for the support of you, our listeners. And hey, in fact, before we even dive into God's Word today, I would just like to encourage you that if God has been encouraging you through the messages and the teaching here at Live in the Light, then honestly, we would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us online at liveinthelight.ca or through the phone line at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Okay, well, that important word being said, let's dive into God's Word together. And we're looking in the book of 2 Timothy, and we come to an enormous dose of encouragement, as we're going to see today, an encouragement that is something that we find outside of ourselves. We often behave as though his encouragement is something that we need to stir up and self-generate, but Paul reminds his young friend that no, encouragement is found only in clearly seeing Jesus Christ. So do you need encouragement today, listeners? Well, hold on to your hats, because the Holy Spirit is drawing hearts to see Jesus more clearly. 2 Timothy 2, 8-11 is our text, and here now is Pastor Robbie with today's message.
You know, as the sun in our solar system easily provides for 7+ billion humans and billions and trillions of creatures and living things, as the sun easily provides energy for all such things, Jesus Christ is the sustaining power and the all-sufficient one. He upholds the universe with his power, Hebrews 1. And in him, all things hold together, Colossians 1. All things were made through him, and was not anything made that was made other than Jesus Christ. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, John 1. Remember Jesus Christ. He is the Son of righteousness. He is the fountain of life. Wherever his beams reach, they bring life. Jesus Christ is the perfect sufficiency of glory. He is the sun of the soul. Can we be honest right now that too often we go to Jesus, listen carefully, everyone home right now, overflow. Too often we go to Jesus to get something from him. We treat him like a vendor. Say, Jesus, good to see you today, Jesus. I'll take one good job, please. I'll have a peaceful home and give me a good night's sleep on the side, please, Jesus. That would be really great. And that's often how we approach Jesus. We come to him and we think, whatever you can give me in my present temporal life, that's what I need. We fail to understand the blessing in this life is Jesus himself. He is blessing. He is fulfillment. He is the answer. It's the person. It's the power. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. You don't need something from him as much as you need him. He's the one. You will never, ever be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ and feel like you need anything else in this life. Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Remember he's alive. Remember his glory, his perfection, his goodness, his satisfaction. Remember Jesus Christ. Again, he is everything, inexhaustible in grace, all-sufficient, unlimited in power. I love John chapter 6, after the feeding of the 5,000. And the people are so enthralled with the fact that this man, Jesus, produced bread to satisfy their physical hunger. All they wanted after that point was the physical bread. And they said, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You see that? So many of us even. I want the physical bread. I want the physical thing. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You're missing the whole point. I am the bread of life. Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, man. Like, you remember him. You will never, ever be disappointed. Remember, Paul's in prison writing this right now. He's packed with joy. How is that possible? Because he's packed with Jesus. Think about that. No matter where you are, what's been done to you, where you find yourself, you can be packed with joy because you're packed with Jesus. Because you're packed with Jesus. That is by far the greatest encouragement you and I can receive today, is to remember Jesus Christ. Because when we love him and remember him, there's just nothing else we need. Nothing else we need. Encouragement number two. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. Now take heart, Diske. The encouragement train keeps coming. Now we look at verse 9. The gospel for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. What a great verse. Paul has suffered because of the gospel. Paul is in chains because of the gospel. But even in verse 9, you can almost feel his faith. You can feel his excitement. You can feel his conviction. And what's Paul's conviction is this: you can never imprison the word of God. Notice the exclamation mark at the end of verse 9. That is there, again, not put by men, put by the Holy Spirit in the original. It is there for emphasis. Paul's like, Timothy, you got to know, be encouraged, my son, be encouraged. Nothing will ever imprison the word of God. It's so encouraging. It's impossible to imprison his word. What a great word for us today, huh? What a great word for so many, so scattered, so isolated, so fearful, so wondering, potentially so discouraged, to know that God's word will never be bound. How many over the years and centuries have predicted the Bible would disappear or be destroyed? How many have hated, opposed, and burned the word of God over the centuries? And yet generation after generation, the grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. It stands forever. Loved ones, be encouraged. No book has been more opposed in history than the Bible. And as the quote goes, the Bible always rises up to outlive its pallbearers. John MacArthur shares in his commentary that in ancient Rome, there were 600 miles of catacombs under the city. 600 miles of the city of Rome. Nearly all of them were dug by Christians. 10 generations of Christians used them over a 300-year period for meeting places of worship. A common inscription found on the walls of the underground in the catacombs was this: the word of God is not bound. Praise the Lord. And you can just turn to your neighbor right now and just say, that's awesome. Go ahead. Through the mask, turn to your neighbor and just say, that is awesome. I love the insight at home. You made sure they do that too. Okay, wake the person up beside you or something like that, all right? You say, that is awesome. What is awesome? Listen up, man. Listen up, all right? This is good stuff today. I love the insight here too, okay? As Paul writes these very words from prison, he is literally penning the word of God. He is literally, by the Holy Spirit, penning the word of God. And he writes, the word of God is not bound. Now think about that. Here we are, 1900 plus years later, in a continent currently or presently by Paul, unknown to Paul at that time. And here we are with open Bible in a nation called Canada in the year 2020, being transformed and changed by the very word of God that Paul wrote in prison again almost 2,000 years ago in a place he would never possibly conceive would ever exist. And he writes, but the word of God is not bound. Bam! You see that? That's the faith. We can look back and we can see, look at how God is so true to his word, changing lives all over this place. It was the French philosopher Voltaire who disdained Christianity and hated the Bible, and it was reported that he predicted with 100 years of his lifetime, the Bible would be diminished and would go extinct. And I searched this up because I've heard conflicting stories. I searched this up in detail this week and I verified in a wonderful twist of providence, 58 years after his death, Voltaire's house would be used to house and store Bibles again from the Bible Society in France. I love that so much, right? The Bible is by far the best-selling book of all time. Second place isn't even close. Why? Because God wrote a book. And when God writes a book, it tends to do well. It's true, right? The best-selling book of all time, of course, because God wrote it. I'm not going to waste his time. Loved ones, be encouraged. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. Two quotes for you I want you to see today for your encouragement. Bernard Ram said this, 1,000 times over, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. The funeral procession formed, the inscription cut on the tombstone, and the committal read, but somehow the corpse never stays put. Praise the Lord. Here's another quote by Charles Spurgeon. The word of God is like a lion. You don't have to defend a lion. All you have to do is let the lion loose and it will ravage its, and well, that was my insert, I'm sorry. And the lion will defend itself. The word of God is not bound, man. It's impossible. It is impossible to imprison the word of God. What a shot in this arm and the arm this is for us during this season. You can't stop the word. You can't stop the gospel. As Martin Luther's great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he says and writes, the body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. Amen. The body they may kill, but God's truth abideth still. Again, Paul was saying this as God's word was being written. And now we can look back. We have 2,000 years of proof that is impossible to imprison the word of God. Encouragement number three, my suffering is not in vain. My suffering is not in vain. Look at verse 10 now. I really hope you're being encouraged. Do it, Lord. Do it, Holy Spirit. Bless your church. Bless your church here, overflow, watching at home. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul says, hey, Timothy, see what he's saying here? He's like, Timothy, my suffering for the gospel is worth it. My suffering for the gospel is worth it. Why? Because by it, others will be saved to glory. This is the same Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, for these light and momentary afflictions are preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. See, Paul is such an inspiration filled with the Spirit of God because he looks at his life over and over again and he looks at his hardship and he looks at his suffering for the gospel. And he weighs the value of his suffering compared to the value of other lives receiving eternal life as a result. And he's so quick to say, if I suffer now, it is so worth it compared to the weight and the value of souls being saved for eternal glory. This is his theological math. This is the lens he's always looking through. My suffering is not in vain because my suffering for Christ is resulting in other lives being saved forever, rescued from death and eternal hell apart from God. My suffering then is so worth it. I endure everything for the sake of the elect. It reminds us of 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For our labor then is not in vain. Of course, Paul wrote that too. Notice his powerful theology here. He says, notice, I am willing to endure everything for the sake of the elect. For the sake of the elect. Paul knows that God is always saving. Loved ones, like just think about that. God is always saving. Even when I don't see it, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, God is always working. He is always saving because God has his elect. Paul loved the doctrine of election. I love the doctrine of election. I can't fully understand it, can't fully explain it. It's one of those things There's the responsibility of man and there's the sovereignty of God when it comes to salvation. But I love this doctrine. Watch this for Paul. One of the greatest accusations against the doctrine of election is that it limits or diminishes evangelism. Does it diminish Paul's evangelism here? No. If anything, he's like, I endure everything. I completely give my entire life for evangelism and the gospel. Why? Because I know God is saving the elect. Doesn't diminish his evangelism. It like increases it 100-fold and he gives his very life towards it because God has promised that God is saving people all the time. So Paul's ultimate conclusion here is suffer now that others might be saved and they will rejoice, verse 10, in the eternal glory with Jesus Christ. And that's such an encouragement right now. That's such an encouragement to know our suffering for Christ is not in vain. You know, it's a good time to look at our lives right now, isn't it? And to say, do I have suffering in my life on any level for the gospel? Am I willing to double down in that regard to endure everything for the sake of the elect? Just think about that for a second. It's a powerful point of theology right now, and it's a powerful point of application. That I'm willing to sacrifice myself in order that others may hear and be saved in the gospel, because in the end, the eternal weight of glory that people will receive in salvation in Jesus Christ, oh, what a day that will be. Lord, help us to release the temporal to live more for the eternal. Here's the reality, man. This is all under God's grace. It has nothing to do with, again, our giftedness or our, you know, kind of like our reward, whatever. But just think, in heaven, how awesome will it be? All to the glory of Jesus Christ. But you will meet people and they will come up to you. And let's say you never knew this, but your life and when you sowed that seed that day, when you spoke to me in that way, you will know. But God's grace was working through you. And through that time, God led me and I was saved. And I am now in heaven for all of eternity. I mean, like those conversations are going to happen in heaven. And can you imagine if you went through your entire life in Jesus Christ and you didn't have one of those? But rather to have hundreds of those and to meet people, all they're saying, listen, no glory to you, glory to Christ. But Christ chose to use his church to spread the gospel and you can have conversation. I mean, what a moment that will be. And that's going to happen. Think about it, dream about it, pray about it. How awesome that is. Think of all the people Paul will greet in eternity because of how his life was used and the suffering he went through, but the glory that Jesus received from it. Wow. You know, William Tyndale, one of my heroes of the faith, William Tyndale was used to produce the first English Bible from the original Greek. And he did it under immense persecution. One of the famous quotes that Tyndale has said was this. He says, speaking to a priest, said, if God spares my life, I will cause a boy that drives the plow to know the scriptures more than you do. He was so convinced, getting the Bible in the hands of everyday people in the common language. And God would allow Tyndale's life to be used this way. However, Tyndale would pay with his life for getting the Bible into the language of the people, into English. And it was when he was finally tracked down over 12 years and he was translating the entire time, his impact is just immense. He was deceived, he was betrayed by a supposed friend, he was brought, he was tried, he was strangled and about to be burned at the stake when he cried out, oh Lord, open the King of England's eyes. 2 years later, Tyndale's prayer would be answered as the king permitted the English Bible to be distributed throughout the land. Now think about that story. Think of how that story summarizes in such encouragement for our first three encouragements today. Think of how that again summarizes our passage today. William Tyndale translating the Bible into English, and think about the whole premise of that, that people might know and remember Jesus Christ. Think of how the story of William Tyndale right there is such an awesome example that you can't imprison the word of God. It's impossible. You can try. You can try to burn it. You can try to banish it. But at the end of the day, here we are. Think of how awesome it is that Tyndale's life is such a summary and example that his suffering is not in vain. Do you know that like 80% of the Bible we hold in our hands today was the work of Tyndale? Like today. meaning for Tyndale in the 1500s to be strangled and about to be burned at the stake, oh Lord, open the King of England's eyes. If any way he could envision 500 years later, us sitting here now with a work in English that is predominantly of him, no way is his suffering in vain. No way can you imprison the word of God. And the whole point of this is that we might remember Jesus Christ. The whole point of this book is that we might remember Jesus Christ. You think he has one regret in eternity of how he was used of the Lord? Not a chance. How encouraging that is. How encouraging that is. Remember Jesus, you cannot imprison the word of God. My suffering is not in vain. Encouragement number four. You can take God's promises to the spiritual bank. You can cash that check. You can take God's promises to the spiritual bank. Look at verse 11 now. Hey, Timothy, this saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This section here is likely part of an early Christian hymn. It is absolutely packed with promises, again, that you can cash. Look at the first promise there. If we die with Christ, we will also live with Christ. So if we die with Christ, we will live with Christ. When we are saved in Jesus Christ, listen carefully, we are crucified with Christ. The old man, the flesh, has been crucified. We are dead to sin. Now listen, if we are dead to sin, then even if we die, we shall live. If we die, we shall live again. And notice the Bible yet again telling us perspective, eternal life, the resurrection life. You cannot die. No guilt in life, no fear in death. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the promise of God. You take that to the bank today. God wants you to cash it and live it. Promise number two. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. Look at this, the call to persevere in Christ. Why? Because if we persevere, then we will reign with Jesus Christ. Right? The theme of this entire epistle. Timothy, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And then the next verse. But there is for me, right? Waiting for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will award to me on that day and also for all those who loved his appearing. That's awesome. Think about that. Timothy, I endure, I fight the good fight. I keep running the race. I keep the faith because the Lord is going to award to me on that day the crown of righteousness, reigning with Christ forever, which will be given to me, Timothy, and you on that day if we endure and persevere to the end. Help us, Lord. What a promise that is. Hey, do not let this truth, do not sit here today and listen to these incredible, awesome truths and just let it go in one ear and out the other. And do not let that happen. Chew on this, pray on this, drink this in, man. Eat it up. But then notice our God, true to his nature of character and justice, the promises now get sobering, the next two. He says, here's a promise. If we deny him, he will deny us. Okay, notice this, ready? God is true to his promises in life, eternal life. And God is also true to his promises in death. Who's that for today, right now? Who's that watching right now? Like sometimes it's easy to say, you know, God promises eternal life and we love that part. And it's awesome, it's absolutely true. But God also promises that if we reject, if we do not believe, if we deny him, if we hate him, then he will deny us. That's a promise. And you can bet on that promise as well. His promises in life, but also his promises in death. But see, right now, Jesus Christ offers forgiveness for anyone who believes in him, all your sins forgiven. Grace poured on you. If you bow your knee, confess him as Lord and live for him, you are saved and redeemed, and therefore you don't have to fear this promise right here. because you have not denied him. You have loved him. You've embraced him. You have believed in him. And then notice promise number four, even when we are faithless, that's meaning for those who are unbelievers, those in apostasy, even when we are faithless, God's character remains unchanged, okay? So that last part there, notice this, God will remain faithful to his promises to believers eternal life and faithful to unbelievers eternal death. These are the promises of God that you better believe you can take again to the spiritual bank. Loved ones, be encouraged today. Be so encouraged today at the opportunity, at the joy of Jesus Christ to remember him, but also in the seriousness of what it means to follow him and the hyper seriousness of what it means to reject him. Lord, would you encourage your church today? Lord, encourage your church today. Fill your church today, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us before we do anything else to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ more than anything else. God, I pray right now for homes watching. I pray, Holy Spirit, fill those homes. Like just fall upon, God. Would you just completely bring tears of brokenness and repentance to people's hearts and eyes? Lord, work in overflow. Work in here right now. God, would you do that? If anything we do in this life to remember Jesus Christ, God, help us to be so encouraged. The word of God, the gospel will never be broken. The word of God can't be in prison. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter a pandemic. It doesn't matter violence. It doesn't matter if governments rise. It doesn't matter. The word of God will never, ever be broken, ever. It'll never, ever be diminished. You can't imprison it. God, encourage us to know that every minute, every second we spend and suffer for Jesus Christ will never be in vain. Encourage us with that, Lord. Spur us on to be used by you. Raise up men, women, and children in a new way, in an awesome way, in a glorious way right now. God, help us to see right now too, Lord. Help us to understand the power, God. Help us to be so motivated and encouraged that every promise you make, we can cash that check. That's why, Lord, you've given us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Lord, encourage your church. Let's bow our heads. Just be still. Bow your heads where you are. God, we don't deserve it. Would you encourage us today? You have, and I pray you will. God, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But we ask for more of you. We ask for more grace. We ask for more awareness of your love. We ask for more of you. You're the answer. More of you. Lord, touch every home, call people back to you. Renew, restore, reignite. Light the fire again. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, church, call to him. Call to him. Ask him. Pray with me in this, would you? Pray with your elders and pastors and leaders in this church. Pray with us right now. The Lord will do something extraordinary in our time, in our midst. Oh Lord, we need you. Pray, use this time too, Lord, not just another song. I pray for a time of response. I pray for genuine hearts opened, singing, filled with love, adoration. I beg this of you, Lord. I beg, I know you hear, I know you listen, and I know you love. So we pray this together in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and respond.
Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. You can also write us at any time in Canada at 500 Great Lakes Boulevard, Oakville, Ontario, Canada, L6L6X9. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. I wanna be in the light as you are in the light.